And next, we'll hear for the Administrative Director's Report.
Thank you, Chief. Good morning to all members of the Council. The regular written report of the Administrative Director, of course, is contained in your materials as always. It provides a summary of some of the activities, programs, and services in which the Administrative Office has been engaged on behalf of this Council and our courts. I'd like to bring a few items from the report to your particular attention. First of all, on the subject of language access, a meeting was held yesterday in San Francisco with Certified Federation of Interpreters representing court employees interpreters, and that concluded the third of four of what are being termed listening sessions taking place this month with organizations representing independent interpreters and representatives of legal service organizations. The listening sessions are being convened to inform the development of a statewide language access plan for our courts. As part of the effort to gather public input, the chairs of the joint working group focusing on the plan, Justice Maria Rivera and Judge Manuel Covarrubias, identified key stakeholder groups they wanted to hear from before putting pen to paper on the plan. Two sessions were held in Burbank earlier this month with contract interpreters and legal services providers giving their input on a range of issues affecting the interpreters and language access for limited English proficient users of our courts. The final listening session will be with presiding judges and court executive officers at the end of this month. In addition, there will be three larger public hearings on language access in February and in March. As you know, the Council will receive a draft report in June and a final report from the working group in December. On this very important and timely subject of language access, with the use of the fine organizing skills of our Chief Operating Officer, Kurt Child, as you're aware, the Chief Justice and members of the Administrative Office have met with representatives of the United States Department of Justice, both on the West Coast and in Washington, D.C. in recent months. I'm pleased to know that today we have special guests with us for the Council meeting, and if I could ask Kurt Child to make the introduction.
Well, thank you, Judge. We do have a couple of special guests with us, and it's entirely appropriate as I think we have these issues on the Council's agenda today. We have Anna Medina from the U.S. Department of Justice Civil Rights Division from Washington, D.C., and Richard Park from the U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles. They've been the point persons that have been working most closely with us as we're having discussions, which I would describe, and I hope they would share this view, as good, strong, collaborative discussions as I think we all move forward in looking at improving language access in California. And as Judge Jarre mentioned, I think the conversations that the Chief was able to have with Department of Justice officials in Washington last month, I think furthered that collaborative atmosphere. Been candid and forthright discussions, and I anticipate that they will continue to be, but again, constructive. They've also agreed and will be spending some time with our chairs and other members of the Language Access Plan and CAP this afternoon after the Council meeting, and then they will also be spending some time with staff tomorrow morning in a meeting. So I think we're moving forward. Thank you very much for making the trip out, Anna and Richard, coming up and spending time with us.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome once again. With respect to the subject of labor negotiations, you'll note from the written report that trial courts are continuing to seek the assistance from the Administrative Office regarding that subject. Our HR office has just finished assisting four trial courts in their now concluded negotiations and is currently assisting 12 other courts in that process. With respect to Administrative Office restructuring internally and relating to the Council's restructuring directives, HR staff and offices across our organization are managing the rollout of the comprehensive classification and compensation study that is now underway. The mandatory employee performance management process, separate and apart from class and comp, was also to begin this month. Because the job descriptions, or PDQ's preparation process for the classification and compensation study, are so intensive and involve essentially a PDQ for every employee in the agency and a concomitant responsibility on the part of their supervisors and managers to review those PDQs, I found it excessively burdensome also to be engaged simultaneously in the performance evaluation review. Each needs to be done very well indeed. So I notified staff yesterday and advised you today that I have delayed until April 1 the beginning of the performance evaluation review process. What that means is that the initial review, which is a one-year process triggered by an employee's anniversary date and was originally envisioned to begin January 1 and thus be completed by December 31, 2014, which would then give rise to recurring and ongoing annual reviews in succeeding years, will begin on April 1 of this year, and that initial review process will be concluded on March 31st of 2015. So we're moving it one quarter, as it were, to enable the preparation and the processing by our comp, class comp consultant, Fox Lawson, of the PDQs in the next 2 months, which are intensive months insofar as AOC involvement is concerned, in a way that doesn't disturb either of those processes or the qualities of their output. Insofar as advisory activity and advisory group activity is concerned, once again, the written report summarizes the activities of all the standing advisory committees, task forces, and working groups that occurred since the last council meeting. As everyone is aware, there has been considerable activity in the governor's office relative to the appointment of new bench officers. 17 new judicial appointments were made in December, and a further three were made effective this month, initiating a series of outreach efforts from the administrative office to the new appointees involving our HR office relative to payroll and benefits, CEJR concerning education program offerings and requirements, our legal services office regarding litigation insurance, our Office of Security Services on the Judicial Privacy Protection Program, and last week, the chief and I and others welcomed a group of new judges participating in the new judge orientation program. One final note regarding SB 794. The written report makes reference to that bill proposed sponsored by the California Judges Association in order to simplify and reduce the number of peremptory challenges available in criminal misdemeanor cases. The bill passed out of the Senate Public Safety Committee on January 14, as I believe most here are aware, and will be heard in the coming weeks on the Senate floor. I wanted to highlight the branch's work in support of this bill as an example of the excellent collaboration that regularly occurs between the court and the administrative office on behalf of the council on so many issues. In response to a call to action coordinated by our Office of Governmental Affairs, courts responded quickly with letters to their legislators and provided information on potential cost savings that would be realized as a result of the bill's enactment. This collective and concerted approach, responsiveness, and swift action is reflective of a strong branch-wide focus in supporting advocacy efforts in Sacramento, an approach that we will need to continue to rely on and benefit from in the coming months. I should say also that last week, Justice Miller and I attended the meeting of the governing board of the California Judges Association in Los Angeles. Once again, CJA having been the proponent of this bill, President Gruskin kindly enabled us to report on council and AOC-related activities. And I think it's noteworthy that Mike Belote, the wonderful legislative advocate, paid a special tribute to Corey and to Dan Pohn and the OGA office for their assistance relative to 794. With that, my report is concluded, Chief.
Thank you.